Okay, today we're learning Nida Daf Samach Gimel. We're going to start at the top. We're continuing with the substances, those seven substances, and we're now up to the part of the Mishnah where they start defining the Rok Tafel and the urine. Remember, some of them were defined in the Mishnah and some of them weren't. So now we go back to the Mishnah where it says, Ezu Rok Tafel. So what is Rok Tafel? So the quote of Braita, Kol Shelo Ta'am Klumi Ba'erev. So this source says, right, we already said Rok Tafel is that he didn't eat anything or she didn't eat anything. What wouldn't the person eat? Like, from how long? This sounds to me, when I was reading this, it's when you get a blood test, you know, don't fast for X number of hours, you know, 8 hours, 12 hours from the night before, so here it says, if you didn't eat anything from the evening. So, Sever Rav Papa Kamei de Rava Lemema, Rav Papa thought, and then he said in front of Rava, he told him, he thought that what he meant was, Kiman damar lo ta'am midi be'orta. He thought it meant you can't even eat at night. If you want this Rok Tafel, you can't even eat in the evening, right? That was when they ate their dinner meal. Which basically would mean, I think, that they'd be fasting for almost 24 hours because they basically ate in the morning and ate in the evening, usually. So Amalei Rava, Miktani Ba'erev, it doesn't say he didn't eat anything in the evening. It said Mi Ba'erev, from the evening. Katane. Okay, so understand it more, from the evening, meaning that was his last meal. So you can't eat from the evening. Lafuke hecha dekadim va'achil. Basically, if you woke up early in the middle of the night and you ate something, that would be a problem. This is really like the blood test, right? So 12 hours or 8 hours usually just means eat dinner and don't eat anything from then until the next morning. Amar Rav Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ezu rok tafel, kol she'avar alav chatzot laila uvishena. It says two things have to happen. Number one, you passed chatzot, meaning you didn't eat from midnight. And you slept. L'meimra d'b'sheina talya milta. It sounds like it depends on sleep also, that you have to actually sleep in order for it to be considered rok tafel. V'hatanya, it's a mistake here, it should be a braita, not a mishnah. V'hatanya, yashen kol hayom, ein ze rok tafel. If you sleep all day, okay, let's say you eat breakfast and then you go to sleep and you say, oh, look, I slept, you know, it's not like a blood test where it's 12 hours. It's, right, not that you can ever take a blood test, at least generally in this country, you can't take a blood test in the evening or afternoon. But theoretically, if you could do with the rok tafel, that would be easier. You don't need to go into a lab to do that. You just take the saliva. But that won't help. But it would be rok tafel if you stayed up all night, meaning it doesn't have anything to do with sleep. So why did he say, Rabbi Bar Chana said, and Rabbi Yochanan, that it needs sleep? So what do they say? Hatam, when it said ni'or kol alayla, now think about it. Generally, when you stay up all night, you don't actually always really stay up all night. At some point, you doze a little bit. This is bimitnam name. When it said ni'or kol alayla, it meant as long as you dozed a little bit. Okay, hechidami mitnam name. We've seen the source a number of times. What does it mean to doze? Amar Rav Ashi, nim velo nim, tir velo tir. You're asleep, but not really asleep. You're awake, but not really awake. Dekarule, what's a good sign of this? They call you va'ane, you actually answer. Right? This goes on in my house. I know some people fall asleep in the middle of something and you start talking to them, they start answering. But lo yada la hadure svara, but they can't really answer you something very, very clear, very coherent. And if you ask them, or more like if you ask them something complicated, they won't really be able to answer you. But v'chimit kerule midkar, but if you remind them of that complicated issue, then they'll remember and they'll be able to say. So it's this in-between sleep, right? That's what we're talking about when it's said, even if you're up all night with having dozed a little bit. Tana, another source about this. Hishkim v'shina pirko ein zerok tafel. Until now we said you can't eat, but now we're going to learn that if you got up early and learned, that's also not rok tafel. Why? Because when you speak, if you spend time speaking, that also affects the nature of the saliva. You know, all these interesting things. Ve'ad kama, how long would you speak for that would actually affect the saliva? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rabbi Elazar. If you speak for 3 hours, that's the amount. Now, I couldn't tell here if they mean, right, nobody that I know speaks straight for 3 hours. Is it 3 hours worth of speech? Or is it 3 hours of the average amount of time a person would speak in 3 hours? And it's if he's having a conversation with someone, talking somehow, right? Because obviously you're not talking to yourself for 3 hours, which means you're probably talking to somebody. You know, if you're learning, maybe you have a chavruta, right? This is an indicator that they would learn out loud, you know, speaking to each other. So anyway, it's a good question exactly what this 3 hours means. Okay, continuing. Megrisin. So remember the Mishnah said, what is this megrisin? You might have thought megrisin was just putting the grisim, these split peas, into water. But no, it's li'isat grisin shopul, according to the Mishnah, right? It's when you chew them and it's mixed in with saliva. So now they say, oh, lema mesei lele rish lakish. Maybe this line in the Mishnah supports what Rish Lakish says. Da'amar Rish Lakish, rok tapel tzarich sheheim kol echad ve'echad. All of the substances that we discussed are mixed with saliva. And that's why the megrisin is not megrisin. It's just the liquids that come out of the split peas, but it's actually mixed with saliva. And that supports what Rish Lakish says, that all of the substances need to be mixed with saliva. So then they say, no, it's not necessarily that the saliva, what makes these beans that are mixed, right, that you've chewed, what makes them potent? So first we think maybe because it has the saliva mixed in, and that's what makes it. So then they say, no, you could say dilma havla de puma ma'ale. It could be it's the heat, the warmth of your mouth is what causes the chemical change in it that makes it a cleaning agent. And therefore, it doesn't necessarily prove for each location because it's not the saliva that's important, it's the fact that you chewed it that's important. Matnitin de lo ke Rabbi Yehuda. So now they say the Mishnah must not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. De Tanya, as it says in the following Braita, Rabbi Yehuda omer megrisin. He says megrisin are not chewing them. It's roteach ve'over sheitain letocho melach. Okay, this sounds like a weird sentence in Hebrew. We'll explain it in a minute. But what it means is you boil them, and then over here means, and before sheitain letocho melach, and before you put salt in it. So in case you thought it was strange that over means before, the Gemara also thinks it's a little strange. So basically, let's just explain it very clearly. It means boiled beans without salt, okay, before they're salted.
Actually, when you add salt to beans, they get tougher, so it makes sense only to put it in at the end.
For cooking purposes, right? But we're not talking for cooking purposes.
We're talking about mushing up the beans.
Yeah, but we're not putting salt in at all, right? We're talking about what makes it strong as a cleaning agent, okay? So now they say, my mashma dahai over lishna dak dumehu. Where do we get this that over means before? And now we're going to have three different opinions. I don't know why everybody needed to bring their own pasuk. Maybe this question was asked in different places and everybody found a different pasuk. And it's not that you necessarily need three pasukim to prove this, but they're now going to show three different pasukim. Different people are going to show pasukim where over means to come before. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak to Amar Kha. This is in the Avshalom context when Avshalom rebels against David and then Avshalom gets killed. And then Bayarat Achimaatz Derech HaKikar Bayavor Et HaKushi, he runs and he passes the Kushi, meaning he gets there before the Kushi, to tell David that Avshalom is dead. Abai Amar Mehacha V'hu Avar Lifnehem. This is from Parshat Vayishlach when Yaakov passes over, he goes before his family. Avar Lifnehem, it means he got there before his family to go visit, to go meet up with Esav. V'bayit Ema Mehacha. This is a pasuk from Micha, probably less familiar than the others. Vayavor malkam lifnehem v'ashem berosham. So the king went first, and God is, you know, their leader. So now you see again, vayavor means to come before. Okay, moving on to the next substance. Meraglaim shechmitzu. Tana, yesterday I quoted this name of the Rambam, but it actually appears here in the Gemara. Kamachi mutzan shlosha yamim. It's 3 days it ferments. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shiurecha chamim b'ketamim, tzarich shiur l'shiura. Great line. All the shiurim the rabbis brought need a shiur for the shiur. Okay, what does that mean? It needs specifying exactly what. Okay, we're going to see now. De yeled o de zaken. When we talk about urine, well, there's a difference between a child's urine and an older person's urine. The assumption is that an older person seems to be, has stronger, has more, again, the whole issue is going to be, is it, right, actually, I wonder if younger, if it's so clear that younger child, but I think the assumption here is, right, Rashi says, shel zakeh ma'alu tfei. In other words, an older person has stronger urine for cleaning, you know, again, for the purposes of it being a cleaning agent. So a zaken is stronger. De'ish o isha. Okay, Rashi here doesn't say which is stronger. Okay, I think generally there are other mefarshim I saw that said the man's is stronger because in general, you know, the assumption is that men are stronger than women in general, so their urine must be more potent. Mechusim u'migulim. Well, if it's covered, then again, it keeps it inside. So maybe that's, or one maybe could say if it's open, then also once it's opened, you know, maybe other chemicals mix in with it. But Rashi says mechusin is again stronger. B'yamot ha-chama u'b'yamot ha-kshamim. So also Rashi says in the yamot ha-chama, it's also stronger. I guess the assumption is also hichmitzu, it ferments. Warmth always causes something to ferment more easily than in the, right. Yamot ha-chama is just a way of saying summer versus winter. V'tzarich l'chaskes shalosh pa'amim. You're supposed to rub it back and forth. Well, okay, I should say rub it three times. Now the whole question is rub it. Okay, this is classic Rabbi Yirmiyah. We've seen this exact question in other cases. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, amtuye vatuye chad. Back and forth is one. Odilma amtuye vatuye, or back and forth is tarte. So if you rub it back and forth, and that's already two, then you rub it back, forth, back, and then you're done. Or is it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth? Classic Rabbi Yirmiyah question, classic Gemara answer, my teku. We don't know the answer. Heviran shelo kesidran. So now we're going to have a bright about this, if you did the wrong order. Okay, so Tanu Ravanan, hikdim shniim larishonim. What if you started with the latter ones, and then as you went in order, but you started with, let's say, number four, you did four, five, six, seven, and then you did one, two, three. So one brayta says, Tanichada, shniim alulo, the second batch worked, meaning when you did one, two, three at the end, that counts. Rishonim lo alulo, but four, five, six, and seven have to be redone now after one, two, and three. Betanya idach, rishonim alulo, the first ones counted, prim shniim lo alulo, the second ones didn't. Now that seems strange. It sounds like four, five, six, seven worked, but one, two, three didn't. So Amar Baye, no, you misunderstood. Idiv idi shniim alulo velo rishonim, they all mean that the second batch, the one, two, and three worked and not four, five, six, seven. Umay rishonim, rishonim lechesidran ushniim lehavaratam. What it means, the rishonim alulo, it means one, two, and three. Even though they're shniim lehavaratam, in other words, they were the second batch of what you did, but it was the first ones on the list, on the original, right, on the list the way you're supposed to do it. So basically, they're just saying it's worded differently, but it means the exact same thing, that basically if you did four, five, six, seven, one, two, three will count, then go ahead and do four, five, six, seven. You don't have to start all from the beginning. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're moving on, immediately switching topics very drastically. We're talking about a woman who has what we call a veset haguf, a woman who has a regular cycle. It's actually strange why this wasn't brought up earlier when we talked about cycles. A woman who has something happen in her body that's an indicator she's getting her period. This is very familiar to people. There's many women who know exactly when they're getting their period based on some sort of physical symptoms. So first the Mishnah starts out with a line that we've already seen before, which is, Kol isha sheyesh la veset dayasha ata. This goes back all the way to the beginning of the Masechet. A woman, generally, if a woman gets her period, we're going to say, well, you might have been bleeding before, right? We're going to say midi rabbanan, all the tumot that you dealt with in the last 24 hours, or going back to the last time you did an internal check, are going to be problematic. So now, but if she has a veset and she regularly sees on a particular day, well then, this halacha goes out the window and she's only tameh from them because we assume she didn't see before her veset. Eluhena vestot, and these are the vestot we're referring to, mifaheket, okay, she either yawns, she stretches her arms up, some sort of body movement. And then generally when she does that, she gets her period. Uma ateshet, she sneezes. Some people say actually sneezing, some people say it's like a kind of sneezing shalmata, like something, some kind of movement that happens down below. Bechosheshet b'fi kresa, this sounds the most like cramps, right? She has some stomach pains. Ubashipule me'eha, or a little further down from that, right? These are just two different locations by her stomach area, like her lower abdomen. Vishofat, and she has some discharge, which sounds weird because, well, then that's her period. We'll get back to that. Uchamin smarmorot, some shivering. Ochazinota, right? She gets some shiver in her body. Bechen kayotze behen. Okay, and like all these, and things like this, we're going to obviously have to say, what are they adding? Bechen kayotze behen, right? As we always ask. Bekosha kavala shlosha pa'amim harei zeh veset. Okay, if these things happen three times, it's a veset. So the Gemara starts off and says, Tanina chadazimna. Why is the Mishnah saying, kol isha sheyesh la veset ayashata? If you remember, we had that in the beginning of the Masechet. Says, Kol isha sheyesh la veset ayashata. It says exactly that line. So what are the answer? Ha tam bevesto ti yome, ha cha bevesto ti gufa. There, they were talking about a veset based on seeing in some sort of regular pattern. Here, they're talking about some bodily sign. Okay, so they wanted to say it twice, that those vestot are like these vestot. How do we know that that's what they're talking about here? Well, that's pretty obvious, but the Gemara spells it out anyway. Kide katane, as it says in the Mishnah, elu hen avestot, haitam afehekem, ma'ateshet, v'choshesh b'fi kresav, shupule me'ah, v'shofat. Okay, so basically it's obvious that we're talking about a different type of veset, and that's why it repeats the line to say that it's the same thing here. Now they say shofat, ha-shofa. She's bleeding. That's not a veset aguf. That's actually her period. This isn't like an indicator that her period's coming. So Amar Ula Bered Rav Eli, Bishofat Dam Tamei Mitoch Dam Tahor. What it means is, if a woman first starts some sort of bloody discharge that's not a problematic color, she'll have something that's like a light, very light color that's not problematic. And then after that, right, she knows every time she starts to have that kind of discharge, she knows that her period's coming. That's what they're referring to in the Mishnah. Okay, it's not blood that would actually make her tame, but now we know that that's when she's going to get her period. So now they say, why was there this line and other cases like this? A woman, it includes a woman who starts getting a headache. She has pains kind of all over her body, pain, right? She's tired or some sort of indicator like that. She has shuddering. Vigosa. Okay, gosa, there's many different interpretations given. Try to remember some of them. Either she... Right, what are they? Right, gosa could be yawning, even though some people say mefaheket is yawning. Okay, some people say it's yawning. Some people say it's burping, okay, from food that she was eating. Again, there's a bunch of different... Some people say it's some sort of pain and bodily pain, which then matches the other topics there other than the rotetet. Okay, or rotetet also could be shuddering, which, again, these things we're going to see later. The difference between these and the other cases in our Mishnah, these often come with other things, right? You have a headache. You might get a headache. It's an indicator your period's coming, but it might also just be you have a headache, and you might be shuddering, and it could be related to the period. It could be because you have fever, right? These are all kind of things that could be indicators of other things also. Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Amar Shmuel. Now comes this big statement of Shmuel, which kind of raises a big question about everything we've learned, or a bunch of things we learned, particularly our Mishnah. Harei amru, liyamim shnayim, levestot echat. So Shmuel says, or Rav Huna Bar Chiya says that Shmuel says, when we talk about, he's going to distinguish between veset yamim and veset aguf. So if you regularly see on particular days, right, every 20 days, so you can set a veset based on that after two times. Now, we've talked about this before, that there's always a machloket about chazakah. Do you need two times or three times? So according to Shmuel, you only need two times, and that's how you're koveya veset for yamim. Okay, you see with every 20 days, and you've seen now twice every 20 days, which is actually three re'iyot. You'd have to see one day, then after 20, then after 20. You're koveya veset already. But when it comes to vestot aguf, one is enough. Now, first of all, this is a little problematic because the Mishnah said three, okay? But he says one. He obviously disagrees with the Mishnah. And why one? What would be the reason? Because it's so, right, there's an assumption that these symptoms are such clear symptoms, right? And anyone who gets their period with symptoms that go along with it, it's very clear that you don't even, that's a chazaka. That's enough of a chazaka. Okay, because women generally, maybe there's this chazaka that women generally see with symptoms, that PMS or whatever it is, right? Therefore, we're going to assume that this, you're koveya even at one time. But the things not listed by the rabbis, now this relates to the things the rabbis listed as symptoms, potential symptoms, like in our Mishnah. But if there's symptoms that are bodily symptoms that the rabbis didn't mention, well, then you need three times. So what is he referring to when he says, for the other things you need three? That whole list, right? It would be that list. That's the second class list. That list, like I said before, you know, you could have a headache, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're getting your period. So if you have koveya three times this happens, well, then you could say that that's your indicator. So Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says, "My kamashmala matnitin hi daha persha rabba bar ula." Abaye says, what do you mean? What is this teaching you? Already Rabba bar ula said, what's the chidush here? Now, generally, my kamashmala means, this is no chidush, what you're saying. We already know this. And why do we already know this? Because it's said in the Mishnah, v'chol right? And all these other cases, right? Kol kayotze bo. Rabbi Bar Ula said that includes those other cases. And what did it say in the Mishnah? You need to be kovea three times. So it already said that explicitly in the Mishnah. But it's not exactly the best question, because the Mishnah had said three times really for everything, and it's not. Some people say, and I think it's a better way of reading this, Ma'ika Mashmalan is not used in its general use, which is, you know, why you're saying this, it already said it. Ma'ika Mashmalan is actually being used here to say there's a bit of a problem here, because the Mishnah listed as if, okay, if would Shmuel set up this distinction between one day for the ones mentioned in the Mishnah and 3 days for the ones not mentioned in the Mishnah. But what did Rabbi Bar Ula say? V'chein kayotze bo, which means these are exactly like those. And if these are exactly like those, and these are the headache and all those other things, well then they should also be only one day. Once the Mishnah equated them all, and according to Rabbi Bar Ula, what did it mean, kein kayotze bo, means, etc., was these cases, well then they should have the same halacha, and according to Shmuel, they should only be in one time. So Amar El Amar Abai. So Abai says, yeah, really, it's not this. It's really those, again, depending on how you read the question, but I'll go with the interpretation I went with, which is those are only one time. You get a headache and you get your period. That's clear. So he says, La tuya achla shum v'ra'ata, achla b'tzalim v'ra'ata, kisisa pilpilim v'ra'ata. It includes cases where they're food related. You do some act related to food. You eat a food that causes your period to come on. You eat garlic and then you see blood. You eat onions, you see blood. Or you chew on, I assume this means
hot peppers,
that's what it is? I thought maybe it was
peppercorns.
Yeah, peppercorns, that's what I thought, because you're chewing on them. And that caused you to see. So all these things are potential things that could have caused you to see. Then it's an external, not a bodily thing. It's something that your body gets affected by some act that you do, by some food eating. That's going to be, you need three times, but all the other things will be one. Amar Rav Yosef, comes Rav Yosef and he says, Lo shmi'a li hashmata. I never heard this statement of Shmuel. I don't know where you're getting this from. I never heard it. Now, if you remember about Rav Yosef, in his old age, he was very forgetful. So Amar le Abaye, and Abaye is usually the one who reminds him, Atamar ni'alan, you're the one who told us this. And now he tries to refresh his memory. He said, you told it to us on the following Mishnah, which we're going to get to at the bottom of the page. If a woman generally had a vesek kavua on the 15th of the month, or every 15 days, let's go with every 15 days, vishintali yom eslim, and then she starts to see every 20 days, and she doesn't see 1 month after seeing three times on the 15th, the next month she sees on the 20th, asurin. Okay, so now you have to worry, if you remember this was all review, you have to worry about the 15th because that's your Vesek Kavua, and you also have to worry about the 20th. So, shalosh pa'amim liyom esrim, hutar yom chamishasar. But if you see three times already every 20 days, then already your Vesek of 15 days is going to be erased. Bekavala yom esrim. And then the new day is now the 20th. She'en isha kovat laveset ad shetikbana shalosh pa'amim. So now, Shmuel brought that following Mishnah to the Beit Midrash, is what Abaye is reminding. Rav Yosef brought this Mishnah to the Beit Midrash and explained, V'amar lan alan, you said about that, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, you told us. The Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Zo divrei Rabban Gamliel bar Rebbe Shamar Mishum, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. That Mishnah is said only in the name of Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, who said it in the name of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Aval chachamim omrim, ra'ata ina tzricha lo lishnot velo lishalesh. But the rabbi said, if she sees, she doesn't need to see twice, and she doesn't need to see three times, meaning one time is enough. Now, still going on with the quote of what Abai is reminding Rabbi Yosef about. V'amrinan lach. And we said to you, when you said that, lishnot amartlan, lishalesh mebaya, once you said you don't need to see twice, well, for sure you don't need to see three times, so why did you say you don't need to see twice and you don't need to see three times? V'amartlan, and you explained to us, Rav Yosef, lishnot bevestot, lishalesh biyamim. When it comes to vesed aguf, you don't need to see twice, meaning once is enough, and when it comes to vesed of days, you don't need to see three times, twice is enough. Okay? Now, so what do you see here? The Rav Yosef actually quoted La Halacha, Shmuel, and this is your reminder, right? This is Abaye reminding Rav Yosef. You yourself said it. Don't say you never heard this thing of Shmuel. You actually taught it to us. Okay? Which shows basically when it comes to, you know, according to this, it sounds like the general opinion of the rabbis is Vesed is in two times and Vesed Aguf is in one time. Okay? Even though we don't paskin this way. Right? You would think from the sugya that we paskin that way, but we don't. Valmartlan, Vinema, now they just question this. Why didn't he say Zotifrei Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel? Why did he say this is what Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, said in the name of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel? Why didn't we just say that's Rashbag? Because it was the famous machloket, Rebbe and Rashbag, about how many times you need to create a chazaka. So Hakamashmalan, Shmuel wanted to teach us to Rabban Gamliel b'Rebbe k'Rashbag Sfirale. He just wanted to teach us something additional, right? When the rabbis can kind of sneak something in while they're teaching something else, he wanted you to know that not only did Rashbag say this, but Rabban Gamliel also went in his way, and Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, also paskin like Rashbag. Okay, new Mishnah. Haytal mudali yoto abetchilat havestot. And now we're continuing with Vesta. What if you see at the beginning of the time period of your Vesta? Okay, generally we talk about Vestot as time periods, day, night. Right now we're talking about this Veset Haguf. So let's say you start getting a headache and your headache lasts for half a day. Okay? Now, if generally you would get your period, you get the headache and immediately you get your period, or alternatively, it could be that you get your period at the end of the headache, right? At the, you know, let's say half a day later, something like that. So if you generally see Bitchilat HaVestot at the beginning of that physical sensation that you feel. So kol ha'tarot she'asta b'toch ha'vestot tmeot. So if you end up with this headache that lasts for half a day, any tarot that you dealt with while you had that headache are going to be tmeot, even if you didn't necessarily see blood, right? We're going to assume that there was blood. B'sof ha'vestot, but if you generally see at the end of the headache, then kol ha'tarot she'asta b'toch ha'vestot tehorot. Okay, then we're going to go by the end of the vestot, not the beginning. Rabbi Yossi omer, af yamim v'sha'ot vestot. You can even have a veset, now we're getting back to days, let's say you see every 20 days, and if every time you get your period, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon, okay, or 10 o'clock in the morning, or whatever it might be, sunrise, okay, then you can even have a veset for a particular hour, okay, it doesn't say minute, but he does limit it to an hour. Haytal mudali yoto am netzachama is giving an example now. If you generally see when the sun rises, enasura elim netzachama, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're only forbidden at sunrise. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol hayom shela. He says the night is forbidden, but the day she gets. Okay, meaning she's forbidden. If you generally see netzachama, she's forbidden the whole night before until sunrise, and then she's not forbidden during the day.
She's forbidden what?
Oh, so there's two things here, and actually we're going to get at the end of the sugya, we're going to get back to this distinction. But it seems two things. So kol hayom shela sounds like her day is free, meaning she could be with her husband. That's what it sounds like. It's not really dealing with taharot, but also taharot. It would mean, right, well, we're going to talk later, maybe, you know, you might have thought it's only for taharot, maybe she's permitted to her husband, but it's also relating, it seems like it's relating to both. Number one, generally, when you're expecting to get your period, so number one, you shouldn't deal with taharot because you're going to mess them up. And number two, you shouldn't be with your husband because you shouldn't have relations because you might actually have your period. So it seems like it's related to both, but we'll see a little distinction later on. So now the Braita is going to bring this discussion between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to say it's the whole time period before, it sounds like. And Rabbi Yossi seems to say it's just that, it could be just that hour. Tana. So here we quote a braita with more of a discussion between them. Ketzad amar al biyosi yamim v'sha'ot vestot. So give us an example. Haytal mudali yotro am yom esrim liyom esrim. If she saw every 20 days, umishesh shaot l'shesh shaot. And in the sixth hour. Okay? Every 20 days in the sixth hour. Right? That's midday. Higia yom esrim v'lo ra'ata. Right? Because we assume there's 12 shaot zmaniyot in a day. There's 12 hours in a day. So we split that into, right, in half. So six is midday. They're just giving an example. It could be any hour. Higia yom esrim v'lo ra'ata. So now comes the 20th day, she doesn't see. Asura l'shamesh kol shesh sha'ot rishonot divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, day starts, you can't have sex with your husband, because here he says specifically, asura l'shamesh, here it's very clear. Okay? The first 6 hours. Rabbi Yossi matir ad shesh sha'ot. Rabbi Yossi says, no problem, morning, you're fine. B'choshesh b'shesh sha'ot. But it's, when you get to the sixth hour, then you can't. Avru shesha velo rata. What about the second part of the day? Right? Generally, we're going to assume you saw. But let's say you didn't see blood for some reason. So, asura l'shamesh kol hayom kulo, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, well, then, tough luck, you can't, you're still in your onah. Remember, your onah is either the day or the night, this 12-hour period. So, you have to stay away from your husband. Rabbi Yossi, matir min hamincha ulamala. Rabbi Yossi says, no, from the mincha ulamala, the assumption here is we mean, at the end of the 6th hour, the 7th hour, you're already fine. It's just that 1 hour you have to wait. You have to separate. Hayta lemuda. Okay, now we're going back to if she saw betchilat haveset. V'ha tanya Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol alayla shela. Doesn't it say, now what did we say about Rabbi Yehuda? He said, kol ayom shela. If she saw an etz hachama, she gets the whole day. The whole day she's allowed to be with her husband. Don't we have a brighter where it says, Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol alayla shela? She gets the whole night, she just can't be with him in the morning. So now it's confusing. Now notice, right, sunrise is exactly in the Passover between day and night. So lo kashya hadirigila lirot b'tchilat yimama v'hadirigila lirot b'sof leilya. The question is, when we said sunrise, does it mean the end of the night or the beginning of the morning? Where at sunrise is she? Right, the assumption is she's not exactly on that border. She's somewhere either there or there. So again, if she generally sees at the very, very end of the night, right before the sun rises, then she's going to be forbidden during the night, and that's our Mishnah kol hayom shela. And if she generally sees in the morning, right after the sun rises, then we're going to say she gets the night and kol hayom. Basically, veset means whenever it is that time period they generally see, we're going to count 12 hours from there, or half a day from there. Tanechada, now we're going to have another contradiction just like this, and they'll answer in the same way. Rabbi Yossi osra lifnei vesta. What?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Oh, what, I said Rabbi Yossi? Mm-hmm. Okay, Tanichada. Rabbi Yehuda osra lifnei vesta, umitira la'achar vesta. Rabbi Yehuda forbids before the veset and permits her after the veset. V'tani idach, and a different brayta says, osra la'achar vesta, umitira lifnei vesta. And another brayta says she's forbidden after the veset and she's permitted before the veset. Again, they're going to say v'lo kashya. Ha derigila lemechse b'sof le'elya. Right, if she sees at the end of the night, then we're going to say she's forbidden before and permitted after. But if she sees mamash at the beginning of the day, then she's going to be permitted before and forbidden after. It all depends on when she normally sees. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Now they say, right, which means you need the whole 12-hour period. Did Rava really say halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda? V'hatanya, doesn't it say in the following braita? Now we're going to see a third opinion, okay? We have Rabbi Yossi who says just the hour. We have Rabbi Yehuda who says the 12-hour period in which you bleed, generally. Now we're going to see a third opinion that Rava said, which is not going to match not Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Yossi. V'zartem et b'nei Yisrael mitumatam. Right, which means they learn from here, you should be zar to your tumah, you should be estranged from your tumah, meaning stay far away from getting yourself into sticky situations, okay? Mikan amar Rabbi Yirmiya, azhara lebnei Yisrael, sheyifrashu minishotehen samuch levestan. This is a warning to, right, we see in the pasuk, it's a reference to the fact that, it alludes to the fact, that people should stay away from, men should stay away from their wives before their veset. So samuch levestan sounds like before they're supposed to get their periods. Vikama, how long is this before? So far we don't see Rava yet, but now we're going to see Amarava. Rava said, ona, meaning you have to stay away from your wife. A man has to stay away from his wife the 12-hour period preceding her veset. That's not like Rabbi Yossi, who said only the hour of. And it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, who said only the ona in which she sees. And Rava says on the one hand, halacha Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, he describes this braita as saying, It's the ona before. So my lav ona achrite, doesn't it mean here ona, the ona before? They say lo ota ona. When they say samuch leveset doesn't mean the ona before you're supposed to get your period. It means the ona that you're supposed to get your period. Okay? And therefore, it actually matches Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? In which case, we don't say you have to separate the ona before. And this is very relevant, right, when you're expecting to get your period. So it's only either if you got your period during the day, you normally see during the day, then your ona of separation is during the day. And if you saw it at night, then it's at night. Okay? It goes by when you saw last. Vitarte lamali, even in determining a vesek kavua, that you have a regular cycle, it would have to be that you always see on the same day or the same distance of days or whatever the pattern might be, always during the day or always at night. If it's sometimes during the day and sometimes at night, that's not considered a regular cycle. Bitarte lamali, now why? Now here we have a good question. Why did Rava explain that braita as saying it's an ona, 12-hour period. And he said alacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that it's a 12-hour period. They basically mean the same thing. Why did he need to say that twice? So they say tzricha. And here goes back to what you said, Naomi, about is it tarot? Is it sexual relations? Tzricha. D'iash me'inan ha, hava mina hanimile l'tarot, aval l'bala lo. When it's said here, v'izartim b'nei Yisrael mitumatan, asara l'bnei Yisrael sheyifer shumin ishotayan samuch l'vestan, that's clear we're talking about sexual relations. But in the Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol yom shalom, maybe that was only talking about tarot. Okay? So if we just had that, you would have thought tarot, but maybe to her husband, she's mutar, and that's because sometimes they were more machped about tarot than they were about relations with her husband. V'imahi, and if it was just from the second source where it talked about sexual relations, havamina, samuch levesta ona achrite. You would have thought, if we just had that source and we didn't have our Mishnah, you would have assumed that samuch levesta meant the ona before she's expecting to get her period. Ona, and therefore, kamash malan ota ona. That's why he said halacha like our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, to teach you that it's actually that ona. Okay, now we're just going to read the Mishnah, which is almost all repeated from what we read earlier, because we already read this. Yom tetvav, yom chamishasar, right? She generally saw every 15 days. Bishin yom kath, and then she started seeing on the 20th day, not the 15th. Zevizasurin, the first one, because she already has a regular cycle. And now the new one also we have to worry about, because now she changed. Shinta pa'amayim liyom kath, if she twice saw every 20 days, zevizasurin, still, they're both forbidden, because we're going to see in a minute, shinta shalosh pa'amim liyom kath, Hutar tetva v'kavala liyom kaf. She'ein isha kovat laveset ad shtigbana shalosh pamim. You need three times to get a veset. Again, this is the right. This is one opinion that you need three and not two. Ve'ein amitaheret min aveset ad shteakher mimena shalosh pamim. And you can't uproot your veset kavua until you haven't seen on that day three times.